We give God praise for his faithfulness to us all. Thank God for those of you that had access to come into this session, and thank God for those of you that are in the overflow. There's so many over there, and we just want to extend God's greetings to you. And of course, to those that are listening online, may the grace of God abound towards us all, and may God's perfect will be manifest in all of our lives. Amen. The last few weeks, we started talking about the fear of God, and we made all the necessary connections. And last week, we talked about the one thing that causes us not to have a true fear of God. It is the presence of idols in our lives. When we embrace idols in our lives, and idols are not just statues that you make out of gold or silver or wood. Idols are our private agendas, agendas that trump over what God's will is, my own desire, my own plan. And when you are a person who likes to plan a lot of things, and not that planning is bad, but planning must be based on the directives and the guidance of God. When you receive knowledge, the application of that knowledge is what we call wisdom. Amen? And that wisdom is founded in that place called understanding, where you have knowledge and you meditate on that knowledge until you understand it. Now, it is not a wise thing to start running with knowledge when you don't have understanding. Let me say that again. These are life principles. Knowledge is not enough for you to start running. Have understanding. And so the Word of God says, in all of your getting, get what? Understanding. And then it says, in all of your getting, get wisdom. Amen? So you need understanding. When you get information, mull over it, have an understanding about it. And if you notice, when I shared with you earlier today, I was talking about you being the victory and you being the faith. I kept on going back and forth and pulling things back and forth so that you're linking things. And in linking those things, you have an understanding. Make sense? So when you get information, seek to understand what you have, and then from the basis of that understanding, take action. Your action then is an act of wisdom, because it is applied knowledge or applied understanding. Praise the Lord. Okay, now that wisdom, the Bible tells us, first of all, the beginning of it. Notice it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It didn't say it's the end. It says, it is the beginning. That's where you start. Having a true reverence for God. That's where you start everything you do in life. Don't do anything without having the fear of God first. Having acknowledging God first. Don't make your decisions and then you tell God about it. No. Before you make the decision, talk to God and say, God, I need to make a decision and I need your wisdom to make the decision I need to make. I have a sense that I should start a business. God, what business should I start? And where should I start that business? And what do I need to put together to do that business? Don't go and start getting the wisdom of this world, because based on the wisdom of this world, you will only get the results of this world. Are you with me? Because you, it is to the extent that you understand that you're going to be able to build. And the foundation that you lay determines the height of the structure that you're going to build. So why get the wisdom of this world that has its own limit and ends up always in confusion, like the Tower of Babel? Get the wisdom of God, and the foundation is solid, and you can build on it. It may take time, but when the storm rages, your house will still stand, because it's laid upon a solid rock. Anything that is built on sand will collapse. No matter how beautiful the structure is, when it's all done, because there's no expense laid for the foundation, you can have nice furniture. You can have the nicest windows and the nice paint and the nicest roof, but it is a house that's going to collapse. It's just a matter of time. It may be prettier than the other house over there, but that house over there has solid foundation. Capish? Now, I know that one of the things that we as God's people want to know is what the will of God is. What is the will of God? How do I know the will of God? Now that we've established the fear of God first, and we have learned that we need to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways so that He can direct our path, we can now come to this place where we start talking about the will of God. But one of the things that we need to address when we're talking about the will of God is this, that the will of God does not mean that you don't have problems. Because it's the will of God, everything is going to fall in place. I wish I could tell you that that's the way it goes. It's not. And the will of God, now I'm going to throw a big monkey wrench. The will of God does not necessarily mean I have no disturbance. I'm not restless. But the will of God, I had peace about it. So it must be the will of God. It was the will of God for the children, His disciples, to cross over to the other side. And when they started, it was very peaceful. But when they got to the middle of the lake, the storm came up. Did that mean that it was no longer the will of God? The peace of God garrisons your heart, and the peace of God will carry you through. But the peace of God does not mean that there's no disturbance. It is in spite of the disturbance. The will of God does not mean that you get to see everything and know everything and that God is always talking. No, sometimes the will, when you're in the will of God, God is very silent. What do you do when God is silent? And you're in the middle of the sea. That scenario was played out with Jesus sleeping in a boat when the storm came up and his busy sleeping. You see, our response always is to panic. We start fretting and worrying and getting overly concerned, and we want to do something. When God is silent, do nothing, but stay steadfast. If you didn't hear anything else I said this morning, hear that. When God is silent and you're in the dark and you don't know what to do, do nothing but just stay steadfast with your faith in God. God, I'm here. I'm not taking a step. I'm not going to come up with a plan B. You see, because you know what? This is a strange thing about God, and you need to get this straight. At that time, if you come up with a plan B and place it before God, God will agree with you. He did with Abraham and Sarah. Have you go mate with my maiden here, Hagar. God saw the idol in the heart of Abraham, struggling and waiting for the manifestation of the promise. God said, okay, do what your wife says. And you think that because God said, do what, that it is the will of God. We talked about that last week from Ezekiel. What are these people that come here asking me? I will personally answer them. And I will agree with them and destroy them. Is this the word of God? Okay. So, in understanding the will of God, as complex and as simple as it is, there is something that we can glean out of all of this. First, it is this. God is Lord. He is the Lord, and it is to Him that I listen, and until I get His instruction, I do nothing. I trust Him to take me through the process. Praise the Lord. There's a reward when God is silent. And you need to tap into it. Come with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned. God has given me the what? The tongue of the learned. Now, who is this? Remember, the word of God says to us, come, and I'm going to teach you the fear of God. Yeah? And we establish that if it is to be taught, it has to be learned. And then we said, don't learn the way the world teaches, because it's going to bring about disaster. So the learning here is the learning of receiving what God is saying, acknowledging Him as sovereign over your life, that God knows the best. Hallelujah. God knows the best. It says, the Lord had given me the tongue of the learned. Now, what is this tongue of the learned and why? Because what God has invested inside of you, God also wants you to speak out of your mouth. The manifestation of the will of God comes about by your speaking. But speaking what? What God has already put inside of you. If you don't speak, nothing happens. You got to speak. But speak what? Foolishly? No. Speak because you're confused? No. Speak based on what God has put inside of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. And the heart has to be trained by God, by the word of God. You've got to meditate on the word of God, and the word of God that you are meditating on, fashion your heart according to the will of God. And then God will begin to speak through you as a learned person. He says that I should know how to speak a word. In what? In season. To speak the right time. To him that is weary. To the person that is weak. So when I speak, the weak person gets what? Strengthened. Then it says this, he wakened morning by morning, he wakened my ear to hear as the learned. Now, he wakens me every morning, and he wakens mine ear to hear as the learned. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So what is it that causes me to hear the word of God? Come here. It is the word of God that gives me the ability to hear God. And that hearing brings faith. So the word of God is telling me here that every morning when I wake up, God gives to me faith for today. Hello. God gives me what? Faith for today. God does not give you faith for tomorrow. He gives you faith for today. He says, stop worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough troubles. So when you lock yourself to tomorrow, you embrace trouble. Are you here?
Yes.
You sure now?
Yes.
Okay. Matthew chapter 6. Let me go to Matthew chapter 6 and the last verse for now. Give me verse 33 and then I'll go to 34. 33 says, seek first what? The kingdom of God. That must be wisdom. That must be the beginning of wisdom. Hello? Seeking the kingdom of God. Seeking what God's kingdom is addressing. He said that's what you seek first. And his righteousness. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? All the things that the world is worrying about. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to stay? All of this. He says God already knows that you have those needs and he's already made provision for it. So don't worry about that. Seek me first. And every other thing that you need, that your world, that the world wants you to worry about, is going to come together for you.
Amen.
Seek me first. Amen? It says, take therefore what? No thought. Take. That means you need to go take it. It does not come and leech on you. Just jump on you. No, you take it. It says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't take thought about tomorrow. What are we going to do tomorrow? How are we this? How are we that? God already knows about that, and he's going to give you faith when you get to tomorrow to deal with tomorrow. Amen? For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Tomorrow is going to take thought. And what thought does tomorrow take? The thought of worry. That's why he says, don't take that thought. Worrying about your future, don't take that thought. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I don't want you worrying about your future. What I want you to concern yourself about is the God of the now. Right now, I am here, and God, what do you want? I receive the faith. Every morning when I wake up, I receive the faith of God for that day, that everything will go well for me that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The will of God. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. He wakened mine ear to hear as the learned. Verse 5. The Lord God hath what? Opened mine ear. Somebody say, touch your ears and say, God, my Father, open mine ear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God had opened mine ear, and I was not what? Rebellious. I was not rebellious because God opened my ear, neither turned away back. To turn away back means to turn to unbelief. To turn back means to look back at what used to be. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. Amen? I press forward. I am not going to dwell on yesterday's victories or yesterday's failures, because there's so much more in God than what was then. There is this moment, and there is the future, and I'm pushing in that direction because I want to embrace everything the Father has for me. He says, he opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Why would you be rebellious? Because when God speaks to you, God doesn't necessarily speak to you on the basis of what you can do. He speaks to you about those things which you don't know what to do about. And now it is your responsibility to believe him and continue, or to rebel against what he's saying to you because you don't see how it can happen. I don't see how it's going to happen. You know, the children of Israel, God got them out of Egypt. And immediately, it was not later, immediately, they started complaining. You know why? They came and they saw the Red Sea. But not only did they see the Red Sea, they saw, when they looked back, they saw the Egyptian army, the force of that day, and they immediately said to Moses, you see, that's why we told you not to take us out of there. Do you understand? We told you not to take us out of Egypt, but you, Mr. No-No, you know too much. You told us we got to get out. And now we're going to die here. We should have died in Egypt rather than die here in the wilderness. But God already had shown himself strong on their behalf. And they coming out. And now they see issues and they are disturbed and they are in the state of rebellion. The rebelling already. The murmuring already. The verse goes on, verse 6. And this is about the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know he came to do the will of the Father? And the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ is shown here as one who came to do the will of God. And in doing the will of God, he heard the instruction of the Lord and was not rebellious, and he did not turn back. The Bible says he set his face as a flint. Target. That's where I'm going. Even though I know there's problems, I'm going that way. Amen? He said, I gave my back to the spiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So he's doing the will of God, but all he's getting is everything that says trouble. Word of God goes on. For the Lord God will help me. Someone say, the Lord God will what? Help me. Say it together. The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. The Lord God is going to help me. Therefore, I am not going to be overwhelmed. No matter what the situation, I am not going to be confounded. I am not going to be overwhelmed. I know I am in the will of God. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be what? Ashamed. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He knew certain things. I'm not going to be ashamed. The Lord God is going to help me, and I'm not going to be ashamed. You settle that when you know the will of God for your life. I'm not going to be ashamed no matter what. I'm not going to be confounded. I'm not going to be overwhelmed by the circumstances I face while I am in the will of God. Let's go on. He's near that justifieth me. That's another key factor. You're in the will of God. He says, God is near me, and he's the one who is justifying me. Amen? Who will contend with me? Who's going to contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Why is he so bold? I know God is with me. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be confounded. I am going to be greatly helped by God. God has justified me. Therefore, nobody is going to be able to contend with me. And nobody is going to stand as an adversary or as Satan. Amen? Satan is not going to stand before me. I dare you. I double dare you. Triple devil. Come here. I have my God here. God is with me. And no matter what it is that you do, whatever it is that you do is not going to cause me to be ashamed or to be confounded. In other words, it's you that's going to be confounded. It is you that's going to be ashamed. It's you that's going to be defeated. It's you that's going to be knocked down. But me, I'm going to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Hallelujah. Next verse. Behold, the Lord God will what? Help me. How many times did he say that now? Two times. Yeah? Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. Those who are trying to condemn me, they are going to wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Why shall the moth eat them up? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us, he says, place your treasures where? In heaven, where the moth doesn't come to, where the garment doesn't wax old. So what is the word of God saying? It's saying that the condemnation is about the fact that they're going to look at me and say, look at you. You don't have anything. I think that went over you. Let me bring it down. He said, invest your resources in the kingdom of God. Let your treasures be there, where the moth doesn't come and eat up stuff, yeah? And where your garments don't wax old. Are you there with me so far? So he's talking about treasures. He's talking about what? Treasure. Say it again.
Treasure.
One more time.
Treasure.
Again.
Treasure.
One more time.
Treasure.
Treasures. Say it again.
Treasures.
Treasures. Ah. Now, this is going to get good. Verse 10. Who is among you that feareth what? The Lord. That obeyeth the voice of his servant. That walketh in darkness. You, listen, you fear the Lord. You obey the voice of his servant, meaning that you are doing what you've been instructed to do. But then he says, that walketh in darkness. How can that two things come together? And have no light. You're doing the will of God, but you're in the dark. The word of God says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. It says, when you are in that state where you know that you're doing what God has called you to do, God has instructed you to do, you're obeying God, and you come into the dark, and there's no light. It says, there's only one thing to do. Trust the Lord and stay steadfast. Just stick it. Don't you move. I don't know where you are. Maybe God used to speak so much and God gave you so much instructions, and now you are in the middle of this ocean, the middle of this sea, the middle of this lake, and all of a sudden it's absolute silence. God says, stick with what I told you before. Don't you change your mind about it. Stick with it. Trust the word of God. Stick with it. Why? That's the question. Why? You want to know why? You don't. No, you don't. Because you're so quiet when I said, do you want to know why? Because God does his best work in the dark. Because God is a God who releases treasures and causes you to get the treasures in the dark. In that dark place where you are, there are stuff in there that the enemy has been hiding, and God wants you to stay there and just lift up your hands in worship and in adoration, and he begins to fill you with the treasures of darkness. Oh, you still haven't gotten it yet. I'm going to come back to Isaiah 50 and verse 10, but take me to Isaiah 45 and verse 3. You are in the dark. God says, trust me. Stay still. He says, and I will give thee the treasures of what? The treasures of what? I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel.
Amen.
I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness. Isaiah 50, back to verse 10, and then I want to go to verse 11. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. What is this name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. The righteous run into it and find safety. When you are in that dark place, trust God. God, I don't know what's happening. I can't see my way clearly out of this, but I trust you. I trust you, God, in this dark moment. I trust you, my Father, that you are God and that you are sovereign, that you reign supreme in my life. I trust you right now. I stay steadfast in this place. Lord, I trust you. And I thank you, Lord, oh God, that you have treasures in this dark place, in this secret place. Lord, oh God, let it be released into my life. Your best days can be your darkest days. Let me say that again. Your best days can be your darkest days. Your best day can be the moment when things seem so dark. Why? Because the Bible tells us that God inhabits darkness. Darkness, light, there's no difference. God possesses both. Good times and bad times, they are the same to God. Why is it the same to God? Because God is altogether good and he is the blesser. So when you're going through difficult times, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say what? Rejoice. Because you're going through a difficult time right now does not mean that you are outside the will of God. If God spoke to you in the first place. So Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying stick with what God said. Just trust God. Even in your difficult moment, just stick with God. Just stay there. Don't move to the left or to the right. Just stick with it. And you will see the salvation of God. Verse 11. He says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire. This is a person who is in the dark and is kindling a fire. That compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire. Walk in the light of what you have done with your Ishmael. Walk in the light of what you have accomplished. Look at what I've done. I was in a tight spot and I did this and I did that and I talked to this person and I talked to that person and I borrowed some money and I did this. God says, you got your fire? You got it started? Huh? You've got your sparks. He says, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. This is what you'll get from me. Ye shall lie down in what? Sorrow. Because you try to go set up your own thing. Try to do your own thing. He says, you're going to end up in sorrow. That's the end of your life. That's the end of everything that you're doing. It's going to end up in sorrow. You say, Pastor, you saying that when I know that God has directed me, I should stick with the program no matter what? That's what I'm saying. No matter what. When you know God led you here, stick with it. Don't look at your circumstance. Because when you determine that circumstances are going to lead you, God will give you enough circumstances. You are to be led by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, not circumstances. Somebody listening? You know what? I'm going to wrap it up. Because really, where God wants me to bring us to, and I'm going to show you certain things, maybe tonight, maybe next Sunday. Because, see, when you are in that dark place and where God says, trust me, trusting in God is shown in certain things that you do. And I need to bring us to that place as we're talking about the will of God. But first thing that we're doing right now as we're addressing the will of God, knowing the will of God, is addressing the fact that knowing the will of God doesn't necessarily mean that everything falls in proper order all the time. Does not mean that. But Proverbs, or Psalm 37 and verse 5, let me do that first. Psalm 37 and verse 5 says to us, watch this. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall what? Bring it to pass. Just trust God. Don't trust your circumstance. Trust God. Don't place your faith on your circumstance. The circumstance sometimes tell the truth, sometimes they tell lies. But your life cannot be directed by circumstances. Peter is put in jail. He's doing the will of God. He's preaching the gospel. He's thrown into jail. And the next day, they're going to kill him. What is he doing? Staying awake? Worrying? No. The guy goes to sleep. An angel came into that room, and he's still sleeping. The angel had to strike him to wake him up. We are so conditioned to acting up when things don't seem to be going the way that we think. We start jumping from here to there, to this, to that, to this, to that, to this, to that, and you keep on, you become a yo-yo, unstable in all of your ways. He says, let that man not think he's going to receive anything from God. In other words, if they receive anything, it is not from God. Say, but I saw this person did such and such a thing, and this person did such and such a thing, and things are going well for them. Look at the end of their story. Don't forget about what's happening now. Look at, just watch it. And the garments, what? Wax old. Did you hear what I said? A garment doesn't wax old if it wasn't new at some point. New things are always so flashy. Oh, yeah, this is exciting. Oh, yeah. Oh, I really like this. Oh, I am free. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do that. Oh, we can be creative. We can do this now. We can do that now. Forget that. Oh, we can do this. After a while, it gets old. Gravity comes on it. And it's all wrinkles and a total mess. And you wonder, how did we get here? We got here by starting our own sparks. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, this Nadab and Abihu are the first and second son. He had four sons. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered what? Strange fire. They offered what? Strange fire. There's a fire that they need to take, but they did not take the fire, the holy fire that God had already purified. They grabbed any fire, put it into their censer, and offered, the Bible says, offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. He commanded them not. Don't you bring that strange fire here. They brought it, and the Bible says, and there went out fire from the Lord and defiled them, and they died before the Lord. They did what? They died. Why? They presented strange fire. And so many that die spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, because of strange fire. And Bible says concerning these two that they ended up having no children. They had no children. In Numbers chapter 3 and verse 4, Bible restated, actually the Bible restated this particular family, these two, over and over and over again. It says, and Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had what? No children. God wants us to be fruitful and to multiply, to have a legacy. They ended up having no children. And Eleazar and Itamar, that's the third and the fourth child, ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. Because you, as the first child and the second child, God always worked with first and second. Don't think that your place is indispensable. One of the statements God made to me many, many years ago. These guys will remember because they've been with us the longest. The Lord said, you and nobody else here is indispensable. You stick with me, I stick with you. You start acting crazy, I will sideline you like yesterday. And that has burnt within my spirit all these years to recognize that God is faithful, but God is first and foremost faithful to himself. Oh, God is what? Faithful. but he's first and foremost faithful to himself. That's why he doesn't change. And he's saying to us today, you want to be in my will? Then connect with me and stay connected. That's how you stay in my will. You continue in my word. That's how you be my disciple. If you don't continue, sorry. Do you receive this word? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, at this time we're going to share together in communion. I trust that everybody had their communion placed. Is anyone here that doesn't have their communion? If you don't have one, raise your hand. One person there. Okay. Two. All right. Oh, you got one? All right. There's some one person here that doesn't have. Praise the Lord. And at this time, let us also get our offerings ready. Your tithes and your offerings, they are very important, not just to God, but to you. Amen? It's important to you. Word of God says, seek first my kingdom, and every other thing shall be added unto you. You know, never short. When you don't honor God with your giving, you shortchange yourself. Do you know that in the most difficult times, when I thought my finances were the lowest, have been the times when I have accomplished more, done more, bought more in cash. When I am not supposed to have it, that's when God showed himself. Don't allow your circumstance to determine your future. Only God. Because if you allow your circumstance, you make your circumstance God. And that God will speak to you and will mess you up. Don't let that happen. That goes to every one of us. Nobody is exempt from that spiritual principle. That's why I pointed over to Abraham. He's a father of faith. He even messed it up. So that we learn not to mess up. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is the body of the Lord. The Lord says to us that as often as we take of this body and we eat of it, that we should do it in remembrance of him. Amen? So today, as we take of this body and we eat, we do it in remembrance. But this is a powerful weapon right here. This is a powerful key. And I'm going to share some more about this with us in the days to come. But this here is nothing but a key of the kingdom for absolute victory. Right here. And as the Lord grants us grace to continue to share the word of God, when we begin to share about this and you come to an understanding of it, you will use it as a powerful weapon to smack the head of the enemy every time. Amen? This is the body of our Lord. He says, eat this often, and as often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of who I am. Take and eat. In Jesus' name. This is a cup of the blood of redemption. This is the table of blessing. When you take of this cup, you are at the table of blessing. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It says, you've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When you take of this cup, God is preparing a table of blessing in the presence of your enemy. Everything that is trying to contradict the plan and purpose of God concerning your life, in the midst and in the presence of that problem, in that dark place, God says, he prepares a table before you. Take of this cup, the cup of blessing, and drink. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Mama to come stand with me. Hallelujah. I don't know why, but I feel led to do one more thing. Pastor Henry, could you please come and just stand right here? Just stand right there and face the congregation. Praise God. God has his ways. You just have to follow the instruction. We're going to pronounce the blessing of the Lord over you. The curse is removed. The obstacles that hinder is removed. Today there are curses that have even been pronounced by people over lives because of misunderstandings, for whatever reason. They have been working against individuals. But today, those curses are going to be removed permanently. And there are treasures that are going to be released today. Are you willing and ready to receive it? Let everyone that wants to receive stand before the Lord. If you want to receive, stand before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that the curse is removed so that the blessing can abide. Whatever documentation the enemy had a right to, whatever the enemy thinks and believes is justified to do, this day we deny that justification. We bring that attempt, that plan, that project of the enemy to naught. For this day we declare in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, that the glory of the living God will fall upon the people of this house. That the glory of the living God will empower every son and every daughter. And that grace sufficient will propel everyone to accomplish the divine purposes of our Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, you took the curse on our behalf and you released the blessing. Now, Lord, take the curse and let the blessings flow. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare this so done. We declare this so done for your son. We declare this so done for everyone in this house. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pronounce the blessing. Let the blessing prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, we receive this at this table of blessing. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Somebody say, every limitation is removed permanently, and the blessing of God is upon my life. I have hearing ears. I have seen eyes. I have learned mind. My speech is the speech of the learned. Thank you, Lord. I'm awakened every day with the faith to live out life to the full for that day and for every day that I step into. In Jesus' mighty name, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Dismissed from those that are listening online, we bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you tonight as we continue in the Word of God. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Good day. See you tonight.